everyone. Welcome to Guilt by Association Football, Episode 11. I'm Ben McCormick, joined by Ryan McCauley and Rob Moyer. Guys,
huzzah!
Good evening.
And we're going to get going with this one with some Yank news. Ryan, what do you have for Yank news?
We're back here in Rob's apartment, finally. I am up in Mobile for the first time.
Are you still on painkillers?
I'm no longer on painkillers. I'm actually sober for once.
This podcast.
Smoke out!
Hopefully our podcast, hopefully it didn't peak already with that.
Well, speaking of rocks, the U.S. played Slovenia again.
Rocks like the noun rocks? Or rocks
I
like the U.S. rocks?
Take it as you want.
I don't get it.
You don't get Slovenia?
No, I don't get why Slovenia has to do anything with rocks.
And neither do I.
it was a segue nonetheless.
Well, it wasn't the obscure Eastern European country I was hoping we'd go to.
Estonia.
I was hoping for Romania, actually. There's some pretty crazy bastards over there.
Speaking of rocks, Adrian Mutu.
Oh.
Their supporters are anything like Mutu, that'd be a real hostile environment to go to. Drugs.
We'll give you a hostile environment.
You normally do when we're on the podcast.
Just syringes sticking up from the ground.
All right, so U.S.-Slovenia. Basically, we're playing them in Slovenia, a rematch of last summer's World Cup matchup.
Maurice Edu got robbed.
Maurice Edu did get robbed, and we should still bomb the entire country of Mali, just flatten that motherfucker down.
We'd kill like six people.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, it's just your opinion.
I'm gonna call this match a Band-Aid match. And I say that because if France just waxes us, this is the match where we can go in, and if we get a draw or a win, we can still walk away saying, hey, we got something positive from
this.
Do
you think we can get a draw or a win in Slovenia?
In front of eight fans? Probably.
Slovenia, it doesn't matter. Slovenia is not a bad team.
Well, they're not a bad team.
If we wanted to have that real cushion game, we should have taken France's neighbors to the east, Luxembourg, and just destroy them.
Andorra.
Exactly.
But, that's right. Andorra's team is made up of, like,
or the north, Liechtenstein.
Play San Marino while we're at it, too.
If we wanted to have a real cushion game, we could have taken one of those half stars in FIFA World Cup 2010.
Indeed.
And just really had a parade.
Anyway.
So, actual thoughts on the match.
Like I said, it's a
Band-Aid. There's nothing much to talk about until the roster comes out.
No, I mean, why do you think...
There's lots to talk about.
Yeah, they have. Awful close-minded of you. Now, it's a...
Jurgen is going to out-coach the hell out of France and Slovenia.
He couldn't out-coach a paper bag.
Bags are smarter than you give them credit for.
I highly doubt
they are better at holding things than you are.
Am I in the minority of people who have a fairly low opinion of the IQ of paper bags?
It would appear so.
Damn you both.
All right, so in more scheduling news, we got the women's Olympic qualifying draw. The U.S. will face Mexico, Guatemala, and the Dominican Republic.
Guatemala.
Yes, Guatemala. They're a brand new nation. I don't think they've sanctioned yet.
Okay.
Thoughts on women's soccer, guys?
Alex Morgan. You're my hero.
Ben, thoughts on women's soccer?
I don't believe we'll have any trouble qualifying for the Olympics. And when you said that we drew, you know, those three countries, it's basically who we're going to crush.
Remember,
I thought to myself, 10-0, 20-0.
Mexico did beat us.
10-0.
We did lose to Mexico in qualifiers.
Okay, this is true, but at the same time...
Now we're just going to be pissed off when we play them.
I'm expecting at least 5-0 from the match against the DR.
Yeah.
Alex Morgan hat-trick takes her shirt off, Chastain style. Yeah, buddy.
Edit.
Oh, come on, guys.
Hands off. No touching.
No touching.
It was a good touch, though. Wasn't a bad
touch.
This
is a non-contact podcast.
Damn.
I don't know. I think it'll be pretty easy for them. I would say it's comparable to the U.S., our semifinal.
It should be much easier.
Semifinal group of
qualifying. It should be easier than that. The women should run through this, no problem.
Yeah, and I'm also expecting us.
Will they drop
that's
any
a whole
points?
New conversation that we probably haven't even got to yet. No.
If the U.S. plays Mexico last and is already qualified first place, they may draw just for fun. So probably not.
Mm.
Do they play Mexico last?
I don't know.
Okay.
So, back to the men half of the U.S. Soccer Federation. We've got some new coaches to add to talk about here.
Some phenomenal new coaches, if you ask me.
We've got Caleb Porter, who's in charge of the Olympic team.
Excellent choice.
Tab Ramos in charge of the U-20s.
Another good one.
And Richie Williams will take over the U-18 national team, which begs the question, we have a U-18 national team?
I always kind of knew it existed, but I didn't know much about it.
What does it do?
Well,
they play footy.
What do they do?
Play footy?
They don't have any tournament. Like, there's no under 18.
There's nothing.
I'm kind of hoping that Jurgen just tries to pretty much invent, like, a new level of youth international soccer in CONCACAF just because he wants it.
We're playing the U-12 CONCACAF championship.
He's Jurgen Klinsmann. Exactly. He does what he wants.
It's the Bronze Cup.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a push for the under-23s to at least play some edges. I wouldn't be surprised if we see them play some nations like, you know, Nicaragua, you know, Virgin Islands. Okay, Virgin Islands are even worse.
Those are full horrible national teams.
Is that out of the realm of possibility for those tiny nations? And then as we talked
unlikely.
About...
Have we ever seen... when's the last time we've seen...
Jurgen does a lot of things that no one's ever seen before. And he also wants his under-23 national team to play more, and he wants more matches for the youth national teams in general. Also, remember that the under-23 national team, as we call it, is the under-21 national team, as the Europeans call it, because of how the cycle works and how any player who is under-21 at the start of the cycle is eligible for the under-21 tournament. So I think he'll at least make an effort now. Whether or not that means playing full national teams, I don't know, but I think he'll make a concerted effort for them to play more matches, even if it means playing each other, I'd think.
Well, the first camp is a combined 2023 camp.
And that's because Porter is mid-season right now.
Yeah.
So Ramos will probably be heading that up, and I wouldn't be
shocked.
Yeah, Ramos
and Reyna will tag team that one.
Which is good enough. I mean, you got guys like Terrence Boyd who need to be looked at.
And Boyd did get called up to 23s.
He did?
Boyd and...
Mix.
No, it was some.
Oh!
I think he was just a.
Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Straight up U.S., not a dual national.
Shake
from
Mouse.
Yanks.
Okay.
I don't know.
Where's that from?
I saw it on Twitter.
Okay.
I don't remember who. I don't quote sources.
So. I think we'd see Caleb Porter be a future full national team manager. He's certainly a candidate at some point.
I think Caleb Porter with Akron plays a lot of the way that Jurgen wants the full team to play. And given the fact that Kitchen, Valentin, and Bunbury are probably on the Olympic team, it's a good fit for the guy who coached them in college to take over for him at the Olympics, actually.
And take notice of how all of the youth national team managers, except for Wilmer Cabrera, where I don't really know where he fits in all this, but every single one of them that's been hired, if you read their quotes, have all said that they're going to be integrated with the full national team. And they're all going to play the same way. So this idea of the synchronizing of youth national teams is in full swing.
We'll see how that experiment goes, won't we?
Oh, yes, we will.
And speaking of experiment, looks like the Revolution have given up with Steve Nichol.
Is he fired? Sacked?
No, mutual
agreement. Which basically means Nichol quit on them.
Yeah.
Because they just don't try over in New England.
Not at all. I'd like to see him. He could get a look at it with an assistant job with the full national team.
Do you think so, or do you think he'd just take
I don't think he would.
Job?
I don't think he would take it, but I think that Jurgen would
it's
be dumb. He should call him, and at least ask him.
Well, what would be some MLS jobs that you could possibly take?
Chicago, right now. They still haven't chosen whether or not they want Klopas.
Klopas should stay, but...
He should stay, but I wouldn't be surprised if the reason why he doesn't know is because right now the Fire are asking Steve Nichol if he wants to manage or not. He can go, I would say, better than, well, maybe not more than half, but half of the MLS clubs would pretty much take him in a heartbeat and probably pay him a decent amount of money to go wherever they go.
Who should take them, who doesn't have a good coach? Red Bulls.
But they've given Hans Backe a vote of confidence. Definitely he's gone in the offseason.
Exactly.
So Hans is going to get fired.
I could totally see that. What happens to the Revs now?
They become even worse.
Which is hard to fathom.
With things looking up for Toronto, it kind of looks like New England's...
Wait, things are looking up for Toronto? They've been looking up since their inception in the league, and they've never actually gone anywhere.
They're having a good run. They had a good run the end of the year. Yeah, and they knocked Dallas out of the...
They had Frings and...
Knockout round of the CONCACAF Champions League. 3-0.
Yeah.
That
was something.
That was an embarrassment.
What else?
Couple transfer notes. Greg Seltzer knocks off an extensive list of teams scouting Breck Shea. Anderlecht, AZ Alkmaar, Blackburn, Bolton, Fulham, Hamburg, Liverpool, Newcastle.
Ooh, come on, Newcastle! We don't have anywhere to put him. I was thinking about that. Like, we literally...
Rota JC, Sporting, Portugal, Stoke, Sunderland, Werder Bremen, and West Ham. Atletico Madrid is still possibly in the mix. Schalke is probably still there, and an unnamed Italian team is also in there.
And there are others, but those are the clubs who were in Belgium and, I believe, New Jersey for the last match to watch him confirmed.
The ones who were there with eyes at him.
Yeah, watching him.
I've been asking for a shot from Wigan, but it looks like Wigan is looking at George John rather than Breck Shea.
Wigan would rather break down George John with them into the championship.
Which might not be the worst thing for him at this point.
No. And one of them will cost 1/10 of the other one.
Yeah, Wigan and then Everton. And Everton will clearly spend money on George John because of their
exorbitant
transfer record.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if George John does go to Wigan and Wigan goes down, is championship better than MLS? I say yes.
I'd say Wigan is better than clubs in MLS.
I think Wigan is in a better position than he is at Dallas right now because after the transfer kerfuffle, they have gone to crap. And I think his presence has a lot to do with it. Not saying he's... No, the reason for it.
He has the question syndrome.
Exactly. He's got that, I shouldn't be here. Just something isn't right with Dallas. I think that's a lot to do with it.
Okay, so what else you got?
I think the biggest news of the week is Fox winning FIFA rights for 2015 through 2022.
Very true.
Which means the World Cup coverage could suck a lot.
Yeah, from my understanding, you have pretty strong feelings against this.
I'm very much against this because not only do we have fewer outlets to see soccer because ESPN has how many different channels versus Fox?
Many.
Fox has Fox Soccer, Fox Plus, FX.
Fox Sports Channel, which they have.
Yeah, their regional affiliates versus ESPN, ESPN2, Classic, News, U.
Three.
Even ESPNW, ESPN3.
Well, let's say that it's Fox, the main Fox channel, and then FX that are taking every World Cup match.
Did you see their coverage of the Champions League final last year with Michael Strahan in the booth?
That was horrible.
Fox has a lot of work to do. And I think the bigger problem isn't the coverage in the game. It's the fact that really the only important media outlet, ESPN, has no reason to care about soccer anymore.
Yeah, they do. Lost they MLS. Still have the EPL.
They lost MLS. Okay, American soccer. They lost MLS. They lost the World Cup. Why do they care about American soccer now? They have no reason
to show... Because they're American.
They have no reason to show SportsCenter highlights on...
I am going
to
go American all over your ass.
No, as we all know, the climate itself of TV is changing quite a bit. And I think you give Fox 7 years, who knows what channels will still be there. What the meaning of cable TV will even be. I mean, Fox, for all we know, in 7 years could have two more channels on cable and ESPN could be down to one. Who knows? I don't think that there's any real way of knowing. I mean, you could get, by the time 2018 rolls around, FSC might be in the majority of households across America just because everyone just has, you know, those channels and they have a TV box or whatever. I don't know what's going to happen in 7 years. But yeah, you're right. For right now, if the World Cup was happening tomorrow, this sucks. This sucks awfully.
Yeah.
Now, they do also own Sky Sports, which I was unaware of originally. But Sky Sports is, in my understanding, a Fox News... A Fox... Well, not news. A Fox channel.
how does that really affect?
So wait, the steel.
So basically, what they can do for the World Cup is just take the Sky Sports, the commentators, and shift them over. And I don't want that. I've never known Sky Sports commentators to be poor or underquality.
I'd still prefer to have American announcers.
I'm sure we'll have American announcers for the American matches.
Yeah, so I don't want that.
Whatever. We have 7 years.
Does that also mean that we will be having qualifiers on Fox?
No.
Or do U.S. qualifiers go separate from the World Cup?
No. The World Cup is all in one thing. But these upcoming qualifiers through 2014 will still be on ESPN. Yeah.
But they will also be going to Fox after?
Yes. I believe so, yes. And Fox also gets rights to all youth matches under 17 and under 20. Olympics, I think,
Olympics
has always been...
They're not a FIFA event, so it's still...
Yeah, they are for under 23.
No, it's not.
So clubs aren't required to release their players anymore?
They never were.
That's why Messi had to go to the World Cup. I mean, to the Olympics in the first place.
But still not.
Barca said no, but FIFA said yes.
FIFA doesn't own the rights to it, though, is the issue.
Does this mean that Fox will also get the World... or the World Cup qualifier road matches for the U.S.?
I believe so.
Because I remember a certain match at Mexico that was just an absolute bitch to watch, and I had to watch it in Spanish.
That was Honduras.
Mexico was also in Spanish.
Almost. No, they showed it
on some shady channel. That
on some
no one
shady
had.
Channel where they had it for one day. It was a free preview.
I didn't get it.
What was that?
I watched it on Telemundo or Univision or something.
I had it, and I forget who the commentators were, but it was... Marcelo Balboa was one of them.
Olympic legend.
It was just some second-rate U.S. commentators.
With the hybrid, I didn't hear any announcing anyway. So.
Didn't care. No.
Well, that's a decade from now, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, we have 7 years, so who knows?
Yeah. We have 14...
So is that the Yankee news?
If I might also add, Fox did pay a substantial amount for those two World Cups for them to just slack off coverage and not put forth any effort to it.
Yeah,
they paid, I believe, almost five times the amount that ESPN paid.
Yeah, it was reported around $450 million as a reported number.
So, it's not like Fox bought it just so they can bury the sport.
Exactly. And you don't spend $450 million.
The World Cup is the biggest sporting event in the world. They bought it. They're going to have to.
My concern is it doesn't matter how big it is globally. We're talking about American rights. We're talking about the fact that Fox News doesn't matter sports-wise. ESPN is the hub of the sports world in America.
Yeah.
And ESPN no longer has a reason to push American soccer. And that's what worries me. Because we're going to lose the casual fan.
It'd be funny if they put it on Fox News.
Does ESPN carry any hockey games? NHL?
None anymore.
No.
None. Are there still hockey highlights on SportsCenter?
I don't know if there used to be.
There's very little hockey highlights.
Does Barry Melrose still have a crappy suit on ESPN?
They cut back significantly since then. They've cut back.
NBA is still on ESPN, and NBA is very much highlighted on SportsCenter.
Well, that's because they're in the lockout. That's different.
No, even when they're playing.
I see hockey highlights on sport. Like, it's not as if ESPN is going to pretend the sport doesn't exist.
They did when they didn't have it.
But like I said, they also have the EPL, and I wouldn't be surprised if they grabbed the right... Well, they have EPL and La Liga.
They have both, and they still don't put it on SportsCenter.
Like I said, we have 7 years. The sport's going to grow in 7 years. I mean, who knows what will happen in the World Cup 2014? I mean, that could boost it a little. Who knows? One is we have 7 years, and Fox paid a lot
of
money.
Maybe we win 2014 World Cup, and everyone just goes all U.S. national team crazy.
I'll be dead by 2018 if we win in 2014.
Yeah, I won't make it past June.
Pound. You just pounded on podcast. Okay, pound.
You have no proof.
So, injury news. Josh Gatt will be out for the November friendlies. He's out for about 2 months. Simic's hurt again. He just got back from an injury and is already hurt. So, once again... Was the first day of training. Sun rises, sun sets, Frank Smith gets hurt. But in better news, Fabian Johnson is no longer hurt.
Woo!
He played 68 minutes in Hoffenheim's victory over the weekend. And for now, Sue Holden, Eric Lehigh, Jose Torres, and Zach Whitbread are the injured Yanks.
Ugh. Stu. What happened, Stu?
Johnny Evans.
Johnny Evans is a prick.
Fuck that guy.
Who was happy that that ass got a red card yesterday?
Yeah, fuck that guy. Well, in brighter news, lots of goals this weekend. Lots of goals, lots of assists. Steven Jerome got his first goal over in the Czech Republic. A nice tap-in in the Czech Cup, so good work, Steven Jerome.
I know
Jerome.
That Greg likes him quite a bit.
By the way, it's spelled, I believe it's Stefan.
It's Steven.
Steven Jerome. Stefan. Whatever.
I guess you don't know what it is. He's irrelevant.
He plays for Sigma.
Ooh, Sigma. Macaulay's boy's coming up.
We got Herc on the double, finally starting a game, getting his seventh goal. He's now two off the league lead. He's tied for second.
Herc loves Ryan.
Herc's my guy. Edson Buttle continues to score. So once again, Herc and Edson are just tearing shit up abroad. Chris Rolfe gets back on the goal scoring list. He drew and converted a penalty and then hit the game winner late in the game. So Chris Rolfe is now leading Aalborg in goals this season, his fourth of the year. So Chris Rolfe, maybe getting a shot of the next team in the near future.
Dolo's on here too next. He ran the gamut of emotions.
Well, how about let's talk about Rolfe for a second.
Okay, okay.
Can we please talk about Chris Rolfe? Is that okay with you?
I wish you weren't all such liars.
Do you think Chris Rolfe gets a shot in the national team?
No.
I don't see why there's anyone else in his position who can currently give a shot to the national team.
How old is Chris Rolfe?
27, 28? Something like that. Gatsby.
Google.
So he's Google. Basically the only guy left in the winger position who hasn't gotten a shot.
Rolfe is 28.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
I don't either. I think he should get a chance, but I don't think he will.
I don't think he'll take the chance. I think he'll get one.
We'll see. Yes, indeed, Chirundolo. He drew a penalty in Hanover's 1-0 victory over Bayern Munich over the weekend, but then he got himself sent off for a second yellow. So yeah, Chirundolo, good and bad day. And Hanover knocking off probably the hottest team in Europe right now.
The Bavarian Giants.
In their first 8 matches, they had 7 clean sheets, which was just ridiculous.
And dull.
They won something like 570 minutes or something without giving up a goal in the league.
And Hanover took 2 of them off of them.
Mm-hmm.
So good 2-1 win for Hanover there. Dempsey gets an assist for Fulham's lone goal in their loss to Everton. It was a nasty chip by Brian Ruiz.
Yes, it was.
Thoughts on
was that his first goal for Fulham?
That was Ruiz's first goal for Fulham, yeah.
That was his first one since that. Since then, miss the PK with the fans almost.
Is Costa Rica going to be better this qualification round than last?
They're always a question mark because they're unbeatable at home.
I guess who got old and aged out? Because I know they have some good guys in there, like Ruiz, Azufaifa.
A lot of young talent. Severio.
Yeah, Costa Rican.
Yeah, Severio should still be there.
Honduras might be the one who ages out the most come 2014.
I think they've hit their peak. I think Mexico owns CONCACAF this cycle.
I think we're going to be surprised with Jamaica.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
They looked very good.
I think they could nip that 4 spot, and 4 spot plays Oceania, so New Zealand. And why can't they beat New Zealand?
I think you're very much right. I mean,
who was the only undefeated team at the World Cup? New Zealand. I mean, sure, it was 3 draws. Whatever. Undefeated.
Well, it's like Switzerland. It didn't get up a goal in 06 and didn't qualify.
Really?
Yeah, they just drew everything. What else we got? Andrew Wooten scoring another goal for the Kaiserslautern reserve.
I was just going to say that.
Indeed. on this side of the pond.
I don't understand Andrew Wooten's situation. He's been scoring left and right for the Kaiserslautern 2 squad for like a year and a half now. And Terrence Boyd scores 8 goals in his first 10 matches, which is a third of the way into the season, and he's making the bench, and Wooten hasn't even gotten a sniff yet. For a much worse team. For a much worse team. Is there a reason that I'm missing?
You'll hurt yourself. Just don't think about it. If you don't think about it, it makes sense.
I'll accept it.
On this side of the pond, Jalil Enibaba gets his first 2 career goals.
He sounds fun.
It's a fun name to say.
It's a very fun.
It's like the Alibaba sword.
Crap, we haven't done a name 23.
That'll be next week.
Next week.
I think
count on it.
I think Jalil has a decent shot at being a future center back for the national team.
Really?
I think he.
We need one. Come all.
I think he and Soares put up a good campaign in the rookie season this year, and they both, within the next 5 years, should at least get a look of some kind.
Do we have other news, or can I segue into a center back conversation?
News. I have a lot of news. So I'm going to do a quick rundown here. Kenny Cooper hit ace goal of the year.
The American wild card.
Yeah, that guy. What is that guy's deal?
I don't understand.
If he used his brain, he'd be a phenomenal footballer. But
if his dad wasn't a typical U.S. soccer parent.
I'm not blaming his dad. I'm blaming him.
You're blaming him, not his
blaming
dad.
Him.
I'm blaming you two.
For his troubles in 1860?
Well, that...
His dad called the coach. Son should be playing more. And the coach was like,
I still think his playing style, like, he wants to be a winger, but he's not a winger.
Not at all.
So I blame him still.
My son's the next Messi.
But he's 6 feet tall.
He's like 6'3".
You shut your mouth.
Continuing, we got another Brad Davis assist. His 17th of the season. Was a little questionable it's an assist, but he's got 17 assists on the year and tops the assist chart. Dilly Duca with a nice smash into the
Dilly
net.
Dilly Do? Was that one a goal or was that one a cross two?
No, that was a rifle. He smashed that guy. That was no question. Benny Failhaber, 2 assists versus Toronto, his 6th and 7th of the year.
That poor bastard.
Yeah,
he needs to get out of that club, maybe
indeed
MLS
he does.
In
he needs to. I still think there's a role for him in MLS, but it's not with New England.
If he wants any shot at success, it's not.
Yeah, New England is not the right place for him.
New England's not the right place for any soccer player.
That's true. Eddie Gavin getting his first assist of the year in the last game of the
season.
That's
shocking.
Gavin is the heart and soul of that team, and he's 1 assist.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah, well.
He's their best player.
Yeah.
I mean, Marshall's a pretty good MLS defender, but he's not good.
He's also 6 years old.
He's also... And then Robbie Rogers just runs real fast.
Yeah, but he does run fast, though.
That's all he does.
Okay, that's...
Jeff Lernowitz, 7th goal of the year.
I believe that was a free kick.
It was off of a free kick, not a direct free kick. He was laid off twice, and he stuck it through Ken's legs, I think. So, goal for Big Red. Jack McBean gets a goal in his first career appearance for LA. So, his first professional game, first professional goal. So, good
work. Someone compared him to a young Brian McBride.
Yes, an 8-year-old Brian McBride.
Yeah.
8-year-old Jack McBean starting for LA this week. And finally, Wondolowski with a penalty kick for his 16th goal of the year, but still doesn't get Golden Boot.
Well, he tied.
Because Dero won't have it.
Because Dero had a lot of assists and a lot of penalty kicks. So I question Dero.
Well, they both finished with 16.
But Dero had like 8 times as many penalty kicks as
But I mean,
Wando
it's
did.
Still a tie. So you kind of get it?
No, it goes to Dero for assists.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
It should go to Wondolowski if you ask me. So in my mind, Wondolowski back-to-back Golden Boot winner.
Don Garber continues to piss me off.
Yeah, I'm sorry for growing soccer in this country. And now the league's at 20 teams.
I don't think,
and the owners are finally doing well.
I don't think Garber is the reason that's how that rule works.
Probably not.
Well, we're going to go off on a playoff or MLS structure rant later.
Have fun with that.
What else we got?
Connor Doyle getting in with the Derby full team 20
Woo!
Minutes during the week. And
Nigel Clough.
Bobby Wood.
Nigel Claw.
Bobby Wood takes 2 minutes for 1860 Munich in their draw against Matt Taylor's Paderborn.
Oh, additionally, can we mention how the guy who started the head of Connor Doyle?
The what?
Derby started a 15-year-old in their league match. Remember that?
He wasn't allowed to start their first games because it was a school night. His parents wouldn't let him play because it was a school night.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, so Connor Doyle, apparently... backing up a child.
Josie started over the week.
Young Josie.
So clearly his tiff with the manager is overblown.
I never know whether I can trust any of the translated feuds or whatever.
I ignore.
Oh, you don't think that you can trust newspaper journalists? Oh, really?
Irony.
And the last news I have for the week is Terrence Boyd made Borussia Dortmund's roster.
Woo!
And yeah, he got called up the national team for the next camp. So we'll see another Afro douche on the roster.
Oh boy!
Speaking of Afro douches, we have this camp coming up, this under 23 camp in Germany, correct? Under 20, under 23 camp. It is occurring in Germany.
Is it in Germany?
And there is one Alfredo Morales who happens to play in Germany. And although he is, you know, Peruvian and he's been courted by them.
You're so sneaky.
It couldn't hurt him to go to the camp.
It couldn't hurt him, but when Peru is saying, hey, we want you for World Cup qualifiers, that's going to be hard to say no to.
America.
Peru has said, we want you for qualifiers. That's how strapped Peru is for players.
I was going to say, and he's going to do what? Lose? Yes?
Yeah, so that's the week and the weekend in American soccer.
Eventful.
Very eventful. Lots to talk about.
It was good.
He might be our biggest Yank news section to date.
Ooh, okay, what else? What's next on the docket?
Lots of MLS talk. Let's not Rob lead this off because Rob's our
It's power rankings. I don't want you guys sneaking at my stuff, so I'm going last.
Ben's going first for everything. I'm going last for all of this.
Why do I have to go first for everything?
Because you copy us. All right, so here's Ben's top five for the week.
All right.
He's looking over the standings.
Here we go. Well, I mean, I'm trying not to screw this up, is because if I screw this up, you guys lambast me or lambast me or whatever we came up with before.
Lamblam.
Lamblast.
Lamblast.
Legolas. Okay. Five.
It's not too much of that air.
Five.
Ben's top five. What do we got?
FC Dallas, five.
Okay.
Okay, no strong reaction. We're doing well so far. Houston Dynamo at the four spot. Sporting KC at three. Seattle at two. Galaxy at one.
Okay.
I took mine a bit differently. I went as top five MLS Cup contenders for the playoffs.
I did what you did. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I just went a different way.
Wild card, bitches.
It's all about interpretation here on GBA.
F. You always forget the F. It's GBA.
GBAF.
No, it's GBA. Football.
Guilt by Association Football.
So GBA.
Just go.
Number five.
That's your opinion.
Despite them not being very good, I've got New York there. They have way too much talent to ignore. They have the number two most goals scored, and they draw a lot on the road, which might be helpful if they get to that second round. Number four, I got Dallas. They got two wins in the last four. You exclude the last one when they rested everybody. Lots of talent, and they're a good road team, which will help when they face Kansas City if they get past the Red Bulls. Number three, I've got Sporting KC. They have the most explosive front line in the league, and they have a massive home field advantage if it comes to that. Number two, I've got Seattle, the number two offense, the number three defense. And number one, obviously LA, top in goals against, second in goals scored, zero home losses, and they have home field advantage through the playoffs, including MLS Cup final.
I mean, they're just really...
So the stats
if they get knocked out, it's going to have to be that conference semi, right?
Yeah, the Galaxy, by all rights, should win this in a walkover. So that's my top five.
So so we just find out your MLS Cup prediction as well.
Did you?
I have Colorado because, I don't know, kind of outside of four teams for me, there really isn't a definitive fifth team. Sporting Kansas City at four. This is all based on how they've been playing recently. Kansas City's been playing well, although I do wonder how that match against New Jersey Pink Cows pans out if Thierry Henry doesn't just go insane and lose his mind. Houston Dynamo 3. They are Houston on a freaking roll.
Are they 4 or 5? 4 wins in the last 5?
Yes, I believe that is correct.
Yeah, Houston's on fire.
Yes.
Correct.
Sounders at 2. They beat Chivas 3-1. Rosales got injured. And big conspiracy theories going out. The Galaxy paid Chivas. But I think Chivas being sick of being second fiddle in their own city.
I mean, all Chivas want is money, though. They have none.
You'll give us $8 to take him out. Deal. Okay. And LA Galaxy number one.
Yeah, that's...
Shocker.
Hands down.
Woo!